Stand together with me as we read from Titus chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus my own son after the common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. My Father in heaven, I pray You'd help us as we open the Bible, that even this morning You'd stir our hearts and our souls. And Lord, I pray You'd help us, as thankful as we are for the blessings of yesterday and days gone by, to recognize that even today You've got something to do in our lives and classes today and the preaching of the chapel session today. Lord, You want to do a work that counts for eternity. And so, Lord, I pray we'd have ears ready to hear. And more than that, our hearts would be ready to respond to the Bible. We ask Your working in our lives this morning in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You can almost see the Apostle Paul as he stands on the deck of that little boat that is sailing away from a city called Fair Havens. And why, as that boat is getting ready to disappear and that little city is gone in the distance, there's something burning in the heart of the Apostle Paul. And I don't mean something that just says God's already told you there's going to be disaster and tragedy on this journey. And yet as the Apostle Paul begins to sail away from that little village of Fair Haven on the island of Crete, the little time he had spent there had put a burden on his heart. And while you can almost hear the Apostle Paul lift up his voice and say, Lord, if one day You'll work out this imprisonment and one day You'll set me free, I'd love to come back to this island and start a church. Well, now, that boat was sailing to a place called Phoenix. And, of course, every righteous church planter's got a burden in his heart to start churches in Phoenix. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul heading to Phoenix had a burden in his soul saying, now, Lord, if we got to spend the winter in Phoenix, at least while I'm in Phoenix for the next 4 months, help me start a church in Phoenix, as every righteous man here that loves the Lord would be praying about, I am sure. And yet as that boat was heading to Phoenix, as of course the devil always does when somebody's heading to Phoenix to start a church, he's going to send a Euroclydon. And the storm began to blow, and why Paul found himself on the island of Malta, and then he went on to Rome, and yet throughout those days there was a burden in his heart. And God does that to a man, and He puts a burden in his heart of a place that needs a church. He puts a burden in his heart as to where God wants him in the harvest field. And sure enough, when Paul was released from that first imprisonment, he found a way to get back to the island of Crete, and he found a way to begin to build and to plant some local churches. Well, now the Apostle Paul is going on his way, and yet the Bible tells us there were some things that were wrong and some struggles that had arisen. And in verse number 5, he described it like this, Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Why did he leave him there? That thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting. That little phrase, set in order, is a medical term. In other words, the Bible tells us they would use that term for a broken bone. And the Apostle Paul was saying, Titus, some things have broken on the island of Crete. And why, Titus, there's some problems that have crept into churches and some problems that have crept into people's lives. And he describes it in this way, Titus, there's some broken legs. There's some broken bones. And Titus, I have put you on the island of Crete because there's some broken lives that need to be fixed. You say, how does God fix broken lives and what's His plan? Well, there's two things in Titus chapter 1 He does. In chapter 1 in verse number 3, He said, He hath in due time manifested His word through preaching. My friend, do you know what God expects to fix the broken lives? God did not manifest His word through psychology. God did not manifest His word through the latest religious writer. God did not manifest His word through some feel-good program. God did not manifest His word through 40 days of purpose. But the Bible says that He has manifested His word through preaching. Isaiah 58 in verse number 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. Micah chapter 3 in verse number 8. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Acts chapter 4 verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them, because they had been with Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 2. Preach the word, be in sin in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. It's still by the foolishness of preaching, he saves them that believe. And I want you to understand, please, that when things are broken, we don't need a new method. When things are broken, we don't need to call for the Christian psychologist. When things are broken, we don't need some brand new method. We don't need to go down to the religious bookstore and find the latest best-selling author's book. What we need to do is get our nose back in the Bible and give ourselves once again to the preaching of the Word of God. And God said, Titus, the bones are breaking. God said, Titus, the lives are crumbling. God said, Titus, on the island of Crete, that's why I put you there. I put you there to set some broken bones. I put you there to fix some broken lives. I put you there to set in order some things that are wanting. And God said, here's how you're going to do it. Number one, you're going to do it by committing yourself to the preaching of the Bible. But notice at the end of verse number 5, right alongside the preaching of the Bible, you are going to do it by planting local churches. That's why at the end of 5, he said, here's how you're going to set in order things that are wanting. I want you to ordain elders or pastors in every city. My friend, that's the answer in America. That's the answer in New York City. That's the answer in North Carolina. That's the answer in your hometown. It is that in every city there would be a man preaching the Bible and planning a local New Testament church. That's the answer when things are broken. You know, sometimes we're always looking for the new programs and always looking for what works. And every week pastors always ask me, what works? And the answer is always the same. It has been for 24 years. The Bible still works. And the preaching of the Bible still works. And building New Testament local churches works. And if that doesn't work, then it just isn't going to work because there is no plan B. You understand, that's what God told Titus to do. By the way, I like verse number 5. You notice he didn't say what you're going to do is go to the island of Crete. You're going to go to the capital city and you're going to build a mega church. That's not what he told them to do. He said, I want you to go and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. And you understand, my friend, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, well, then we're going to start right here where God's put us, and then here, 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 there, there, and to the uttermost parts of the world, we're going to go out reaching people for Christ, baptizing them into the church, and teaching them to observe all things. That's God's program. That's New Testament Christianity. That in every city, not that there'd be one mega church, not that there'd be one super church, not that there'd be one church and forget the rest. God's plan is that in every city there be a church where a man has committed himself to preaching the Word of God. Hey, Paul said, Titus, that's why I put you there. Why, Titus, if everybody was right with God, we wouldn't have an issue now. Why, Titus, if everybody was walking with God, I guess we wouldn't need you. But you know, Titus, I have put you on the island of Crete so that you will commit yourself to preaching the Bible and ordaining elders and planting churches in every single city. Oh, my friend, that's the answer when things are broken. And I trust you understand with me this morning, things are broken in America. Things are broken across this country. We live in a nation that exalts its sin in the face of God. We live in a nation that spirals downhill every day. We live in a nation further from God this week than it was last week. And my friend, things are broken. And we have got to give ourselves to the preaching of the Bible and to this thing of building churches for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's program. But this morning, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and look with me from the book of Titus. And you understand the setting now in verse number 5. The Apostle Paul said, Timothy, you've got to set in order. You've got to fix some broken legs. The bones are spiritually broken. And I want you to come along, and I want you to take the prescription of preaching the Bible. I want you to take the prescription of planting those churches. And Titus, I want you to fix the things that are broken. But what I want you to do with me this morning is look to the book of Titus. And I want to give you in this chapel service this morning two reasons as to why things are broken. Because I want you to understand, I mentioned we started this morning how impressed I always have been, and even more today than yesterday, by the graduates I meet from Ambassador Baptist College that are doing a wonderful work for God. And I'm so thankful and so grateful that through this campus and through this college over the last years, there are many men and ladies that have walked away from this place, and today they are making their lives count for Christ all across America, around the world. Thank God for that. But you know, if there's one thing that keeps Brother Comfort up at night, It's the broken lives. It's the stories of the ones who didn't make it. If there's one thing that keeps Mrs. Comfort up at night, outside of Brother Comfort snoring, it would be the stories of the ladies who didn't make it. It'd be the story of the one who sat in the same class with the same professors that are here today. They heard the same doctrine. They heard the same preaching, the same revival meetings. They went to some of the same churches on the weekends. They did the exact same things, had the same roommates, had the same prayer meetings. They sat right here in this place, and yet thank God for all the successes, but the sad truth is there are the broken lives as well. There are people who walked across the platform at Ambassador Baptist College and you would have looked at and said, there goes Mr. Potential. There goes Mrs. Potential. And yet I remember years ago hearing a rookie ball player being interviewed and the reporter said, my, everybody says you have great potential. What do you think when you hear that? He had a good answer. He said, when somebody says you have potential, all that means is you haven't accomplished anything yet. And you understand this morning, a lot of people have walked across this platform. They've taken a degree in their hand. They walked across this stage with great potential, who today are divorced, who today are in misery, who you would have looked at years ago and said, that guy is going to be a thundering preacher. And today, he's not only is he not a preacher, he's not even in church and he's not right with God. How many ladies one day met a young man right here in this school and they had the stars in their eyes and it's everything I dreamed at. And not only is he handsome and good looking, but he wants to serve God and he talks about the Lord and he talks about living for Jesus. And he had all the stars shining in her eyes on how wonderful Cinderella's life was going to be. And now that same lady who graduated or attended this school has a broken life and a broken marriage, and it needs to be fixed. And so, while God said, Titus, you're going to go to Crete and you're going to fix the broken lives, it'd be a whole lot better if there weren't broken lives to fix. And this morning from the book of Titus, I want to give you two things. Two things this morning you and I can put in our lives right here and right now to keep us from getting to this place of having a broken life. Two things this morning from Titus. Two reasons as to why God had to put this man on the island of Crete to fix the broken lives and the broken homes. And I want to plead with you this morning. Listen to the Word of God and let the Spirit of God work in your heart. Please, I'm pleading with you to take the warning of the book of Titus, so that one day you can be counted among the success stories and not among the ones who are broken. Let me give you two reasons there were broken lives. Number one, there was a tendency to listen to the gainsayers. There was a tendency to listen to the gainsayers. Go down, if you would please, to verse number 9. The Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Alright, the Bible tells us these pastors were to be planted in churches. These churches were to be started. Faithful men were to give themselves to preaching the Word of God and manifesting the Bible through preaching. Why? Because the Bible says on every side there were going to be gainsayers. You know there are gainsayers even at Ambassador Baptist College. Why, the devil makes sure that everywhere there is a church, everywhere there is a work of God, he is going to make sure that he can influence somebody to be a gainsayer. And if you want to make sure that your life is not broken while you're a student at Ambassador Baptist College, if you want to make sure that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, you are not in a marriage that is a mess, you are not in a life that is full of tears, you are not in a life that is miserable and far from God, then you and I had better make it our habits this morning to say, I am not going to let the gainsayers influence me. Now, a gainsayer in the Bible is a contradictor. It is somebody who uses their mouth. I'll show you in a minute. It is somebody who uses their tongue in many ways, but the end result of the way they use their tongue is to contradict and to oppose everything and everybody that is right. You understand, in every Bible college, there's always one. Usually there's more than one. But there's always one. And you heard Brother Hartman talk about New York City and the Pharisees. And there are plenty of Pharisees walking the streets of Brooklyn. But you understand, you don't have to go to Brooklyn to find Pharisees. You'll find plenty of Pharisees in every Bible preaching church. You'll find plenty of Pharisees at Ambassador Baptist College. There is always somebody who is a gainsayer. You know, there's always somebody who's a 19-year-old expert. And they have come to Ambassador Baptist College not to learn from the professors, but fortunately the professors are fortunate enough to have them sitting in their class so that they can instruct them. You know, I'm talking about somebody who's got to contradict everything. Hey, hear somebody say something in a class, they got to contradict them. Hey, hear somebody preach something from a pulpit, and they're a gainsayer. They've always got to give an opposing view. They always got to be a contradictor. Now, if you want to make sure your life is not broken, and I want to make sure that 10 years from now I'm still an evangelist preaching, doing what God wanted me to do, and I don't have a broken life, then I had better take heed to the Word of God and understand that the gainsayers, the only thing that is going to make them happy is getting me to be as miserable as they are. There are gainsayers that you and I have got to watch out for. Alright, you say, preacher, I don't want to be influenced by the gainsayers. I don't want to have these contradictors destroy my life and break my spiritual bones. So how can I identify the gainsayers? Alright, let's look to the Word of God. If you want to identify the gainsayers, the Bible says, number one, you got to listen for them. You got to listen for the gainsayers. What happens when you hear a gainsayer? Look at verse 10. It says, number one, there are many unruly and vain talkers. So the gainsayers are unruly talkers. The word unruly in the Bible means to be disobedient. In fact, it's the same thing we've got in verse number 6, where the Bible says, if a preacher now is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, I got to tell you, if there's one thing that I find upsetting, it is rotten kids. You know, I just can't handle it. In a restaurant, I can't handle rotten kids. There's nothing worse than getting on an airplane and having rotten kids. Which is why I put an investment in, seeing as I fly frequently, and a set of Bose headphones, you understand. They are glorious things when there is a rotten kid on an airplane. I mean, there's nothing better than just getting on that plane, and a little kid screaming behind you, just click that little switch, and you don't hear anything. It's a good deal. And I gotta tell you, there's nothing worse than being around unruly, rotten, spoiled kids. But the same word in verse 6 is the word in verse number 10. The Bible tells us that just like a little child that is unruly and disobedient, there can be somebody who is a gainsayer at Ambassador Baptist College who is unruly with their tongue. They think, I don't have to obey my preacher. I don't have to obey my pastor. I don't have to obey my parents. I don't have to obey Brother Comfort. I don't have to obey the authority. I don't have to obey the ones that God has put in my life. I don't have to obey that police officer. I don't have to obey that sign that says 65. They are unruly and they are disobedient. And when the unruly, disobedient talkers begin to talk at Ambassador Baptist College, the Bible says if you don't want a broken life, if you don't want a broken future, if you don't want to have a broken mess, then you better decide here is where I exit. I am not going to listen to the unruly. If you listen to the gainsayers in verse number 10, you'll discover not only are they unruly, but they are also vain. The word vain means they're senseless. You know vain people. Always talking about the things that just don't count. Always talking about the things that just don't matter. I mean, you think of a vain talker, you think of a little teenage girl, you know, about 14 years old, and why her life is all wrapped up in the vain little things that little girls get wrapped up in. And I suppose it's one thing for a little 14-year-old girl to be vain, but you know, by the time you're an 18 or 19-year-old student in college, why, the vain talk ought to be replaced with some sensible talk. And when somebody is constantly vain in their talk, they are a gainsayer. And if you don't want a broken life, you better mark them and hear them. Then the Bible tells us that when they speak, the Word of God says in verse number 11, whose mouths must be stopped, because it says they subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. They're money-grabbing preachers. They're money-grabbing people. In fact, verse 12 says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. In the first century, when people would get on the stage in a theater and begin to act, there was a phrase that would be used to call play the part of the Cretan. And if somebody was playing the part of the Cretan in a play, it meant that they were up there playing the life of a hypocrite or a liar. The Cretans were liars. Everywhere they went, they would lie. They were known in business. You can't trust them. And the Cretans, you know, they'd put a smile on their face. But if they could lie and stab you in the back, that was a good thing to them. The only thing that was bad was a liar that was caught. And so Cretans would lie, and that's what the gainsayers do. They lie. In fact, it was so bad. Look what the Bible says in 12. They were always liars. They were evil beasts. And they were slow bellies. The Bible tells us a slow belly is somebody who is lazy. That's what the gainsayers are. The gainsayers are the ones that are laying around the dorm all day, criticizing everybody, contradicting everybody, giving their precious opinion about everything. Now, you don't see them working on the weekend serving God in a local church. You won't even see them taking some money, going out and getting a job so they can pay their school bill. Oh, no, you know, they're like one of the precious little boys and girls at the University of North Carolina. I don't mean that. I mean one of the little boys and girls that go to Duke University. One of the precious little primer little baby boys and girls with their little lollipops in their mouth that go to Duke that let mommy and daddy pay the bills. Hey, there could be somebody like that at Ambassador. Hey, you're 18, 19, and 20. Get a job, man. Start making some money. You got time to sit around criticizing and contradicting. Do something with your life. Have a little bit of character. Why does mommy and daddy have to pay your school bill? You're what the Bible calls a slow belly. Now, you're not 4 years old. You're not 6 years old. You're not eight. You're supposed to get a job, man. You're supposed to work a little bit. You're not supposed to be a slow belly. You say, oh, these people are just criticizing these Cretans. Nope. Because the Bible tells us in verse number 13 that God said, this witness is true. It would be one thing if I thought somebody was a slow belly. It would be one thing if I thought somebody was lazy. But God said, it's true. That's exactly what they are. And that's what the gainsayers are. They're sitting around contradicting. They're sitting around condemning. They're sitting around giving their opinion all the time. They're just sitting around. They don't work. They don't study. They don't do anything. Hey, just sit around making trouble. And if you don't want to have a broken life, and if you don't want to be one of the bad stories, and if you don't want to have a life that is full of tears, and if you don't want to one day in 10 years from now be looking back and saying my life is full of regret, well then you better come to the Word of God and say, I am not going to invest my time with the gainsayers. And if somebody is a contradictor, and if somebody's always got an opinion to say, and if somebody is a gainsayer, they are not for me. If you don't want a broken life, then Titus is saying, stay away from the gainsayers. Number one, there was the rise of the gainsayers. But keep going, if you would, to Titus chapter 2. And you notice there was a second great reason why things were broken. And I'm convinced a second reason why even in a great Bible college like Ambassador Baptist College, there will be broken lines. Number one, you've got the rise of the gainsayers, but number two, you have got the failure of the family. Now notice please in Titus 2 verse number 1, the Bible says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the doctor Childs be, the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I'll let you do some word studies on those verses later, but what I want you to see with me please is verse number 4. Because if there are going to be broken lives, number one, lives are broken when we invest our time with the gainsayers, when we spend too much time with the professional contradictors. But number two, lives at a place like Ambassador Baptist College are broken when somebody gets involved with the wrong guy or the wrong girl. Gentlemen, look please to Titus 2, verse number 4. God is going to give you a nice little list as to what you need to look for in a wife. And if you have got a little lady in your life this morning that does not match up to Titus chapter 2, then you have got the wrong little lady in your life. And I'm always astounded how people determine the will of God. I'm always astounded how people want to go and put the fleece out before the Lord. You know, there's a reason you had to put the fleece out back in the book of Judges. It was because they didn't have the completed Word of God yet. And I got to tell you folks, we don't need to be throwing out fleeces as long as we've got the Bible. And you say, well, I want to know who God wants me to marry. Well, you know, God ain't going to put her name straight in the Bible. But Titus chapter 2 is so clear, He may as well put her name right in the Word of God. Let me show you, please. You say, how am I going to keep from making a mess out of my life? Well, I'll tell you, if it's not the gainsayers, the wrong friends, you'll make a mess out of your life big time, sir, if you get the wrong little girl in your life. Let me show you what God said. Verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. All right, number 1, the right girl is somebody who is sober. The word sober means to be disciplined. She's got some character in her life. If you got a little girl that can't get up in the morning and read her Bible and can't get herself dressed and get off to 7 o'clock in the morning class, you got the wrong little girl in your life. The Bible tells us there needs to be some character. There needs to be some discipline. There needs to be a way, get out of bed. You got a job to do, get the job done. And if she comes into class and the work is not done, she doesn't have the discipline to get the job done. The Bible says the right girl is someone who's sober and disciplined. How about this in verse number 4? They may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands. It's talking about an affectionate love to their husbands. And one of the best ways you can determine, does my new wife-to-be, does she know how to love her husband? One of the best things to do is take a little look at the girl's mama. And if her mother treats her husband like trash and like dirt, you may have a real problem on your hands. You know, the way people learn how to love their husbands is by watching their mom. The way the men learn how to love their wives is by watching their mom and their dad. And if they come from a broken family, I am not saying that that's always wrong. I'm not saying that God can't make a difference and lives can't be changed. But you know, if she's treating you like mama's treating her daddy and it's not right, you better wake up and smell the coffee, man. Because walking down an aisle and putting a ring on the finger doesn't change things. The Bible says you better find a young lady who's sober and disciplined. She loves her husband and she loves her children. You know, she's some little feminist that doesn't want to have children. And she's some little feminist and her career is more important to her than kids. You just got a little girl that's going to break your life. And you may think that walking down an aisle, you're going to convince her, you're going to change her. You got the wrong girl. And if you got a little girl that doesn't love children and want to be around kids, you got a little girl that's not going to make a very good pastor's wife. The Bible says in verse number 5, you need a young lady who is discreet. Discretion's always a powerful thing for a lady. And so in other words, if your little girlfriend got her mouth open that wide and her tongue is flapping in the breeze all the time, and she got an opinion about this and opinion about that, and she's loud mouthed and stubborn, you got the wrong girl. And if you marry a girl with a big mouth, yeah, I don't care if she is Miss America. You know, you got to understand something here. There's a lot of Miss Americas at age 20 that 10 years later, they're a whole lot prettier than they were 10 years ago. It all depends on what kind of husband she gets. I want you to understand something, gentlemen. You better realize that Miss America may look like Miss America, but as the wise old man said from the South, he said, looks don't last, but cooking do. And you better understand and get it good this morning that if she got a big mouth, it doesn't matter how pretty she is. If she doesn't have discretion, she's the wrong girl. If you marry a girl with a big mouth, you're going to pay a big price. The Bible says in verse number 5, she needs to be chaste. You know the word chaste? Now, you're not supposed to preach on that, I understand, in most modern day churches, but it means to be modest. And, you know, the Word of God still says the lady ought to be modest. Oh, you say, well, come on now, this is America, this is 2006. Well, look real fast at Titus chapter 2. And the Bible tells us in verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, Paul was saying, Titus, I don't care that you live on the island of Crete. I don't care everybody's a bunch of liars. I don't care that it's a place where everybody's evil beasts and slow bellies. I don't care what everybody else is doing in the local church. A godly lady can still dress modestly. And you better make sure, if you don't want to have a broken life, that the young lady you're interested in is modest. Or in other words, she may walk around Ambassador Baptist College dressed extremely appropriately, which of course she has to do. But if the break comes on March 10th, whatever the day is, and on March 10th chapel is over at 11:01 in the morning, and at 11:05, she's in the Chevron gas station in the restroom down there changing into what she really wants, you better drop her like a hot potato. Unless you want a broken life. He said she better be discreet. She better be chaste. How about this one? She better be a keeper at home. If you don't want a broken life, then you better find a young lady who has a heart to be a keeper at home. And I got to tell you, in America, that's scoffed at and that is laughed at. And I understand down at Gardner Webb, this kind of preaching, if they'd have preaching, would be mocked at and it would be ridiculed, because after all, the winners of the preaching contest down there, understand, were the ladies themselves. I want you to recognize and understand, please, with me this morning, this ain't Gardner Webb. We have been preaching the Word of God. And in the Bible, the Word of God says that a godly lady has a heart to be a keeper at home. And that's where a heart is, and that's where treasure is, and that's where she wants to be. And you got a little girl that doesn't want to be a keeper at home, and you violate the Word of God and marry the wrong one, then one day it's going to break. I mean, you can stretch the rubber band for a while, and sometimes you're even amazed at how far the rubber band stretches, aren't you? I mean, sometimes you shake your head, and that thing is stretched far, so back far. You think, how could it go back any further? And somehow it does. But I'll promise you, if you violate the Word of God, it's going to break. The bones are going to break. The family is going to break. The life is going to break. The school is going to break. It always breaks when you violate the Word of God. And if that little young lady in your life is somebody who doesn't have a heart to be a keeper at home, you go and marry her, you're going to be broken. It's going to happen. It's not going to change because you put a ring on her finger. How about verse number 5, where the Bible says she needs to be a keeper at home and she needs to be good? That's an interesting word because it's not an adjective, it is a noun. In other words, it's not that she acts in a good way, she is good. In other words, it is not that she does good things, that word means that she is good. If she's not good, you got the wrong girl. The Bible goes on in verse number 5, discreet chaste keepers at home, good. How about this one? Obedient to their own husband. If that little lady doesn't want to obey her husband, then if you marry her, you're going to have a broken life. And it's not going to be the success story. You're not going to be that evangelist that you desire to be. You're not going to be that pastor you want to be. You're not going to get to the mission field like you want to go. You're not going to do something for God like all the dreams are today and all the things you desire to do. It's all going to be laid aside if you get the wrong girl. And if she doesn't want to obey her husband, you say, well, how do you know? How do you know if she wants to obey her husband? Well, I'd say, how does she treat her own mom and her own dad? And if she won't obey her own mom and her own dad, authorities that God's put in her life, what makes you think she's going to obey you? And if she's not going to obey the people right here at this school God's put in her life, what do you think?
And I know we talk of the girls all the time and say, look, if he's a bum, he's still a bum. He may be a bum with a ring on his finger, but he's still a bum. And I know girls are blinded to this, but I got to tell you, I think guys are blind to this as well. And they don't see what they ought to see. And they walk down the aisle and think, just because you say I do, and you pucker up and you put the ring on her finger, that all of a sudden everything is magically going to change. And if that girl doesn't have character, and if that girl's not right with her parents, and if that girl's got an attitude problem, and if that girl doesn't want to be modest, and if that girl is not discreet, and if that girl's got a big mouth, and if that girl doesn't want to obey her husband or obey her dad or obey her mom, and if that girl doesn't have a right spirit now, if you think somehow that why just getting on a honeymoon with you is going to change things, you're going to find out in the first morning of your honeymoon that it wasn't what it's cracked up to be. And then you're going to find out. There are no easy fixes when cast. You know, God not only told the man what to look for in that young lady, in verse number 6, he's got something for the young ladies that are here. And I know you may have that magical preacher in your eyes. And I know he's in Bible college and he wants to preach and you ought to hear him preach on the weekends. And I know, but ladies, if I could somehow beg you to understand how many broken lives there are of young ladies who had a good heart, who had a pure heart, who sincerely wanted God's best, who came to a Bible school and why they met some guy who talked them into something that God didn't want for them, all because, hey, he wanted to be a preacher. You understand, there's a lot of guys who've come to Ambassador Baptist College and schools like this who wanted to be preachers, who even preached, but they weren't right according to the Word of God. And when time went by, you began to understand what their heart was like. And time went by, you begin to understand that they're a gainsayer. Or later in Titus, they're pharisaical. And why all these things come to pass. And now here's the lady who finds out too late. And she finds out 3 kids later, it's too late. And she finds out 5 years later, it's too late. And finds out that I could have gone to the Bible and asked God to give me some discernment. But she found out too late. And I want you to understand, there are some guys, God forbid it, but probably even here this morning, that have ties on, they got nice haircuts, they were out working in a church last weekend, and they're disasters. So how are you going to keep your life from being broken? All right, ladies, let's take a look. God will tell you. You don't need to have a new book by the author, free, right here in the Bible. You don't even need to have a copyrighted Bible. King James, free, right? You know, it's so good, you can go to the copy machine, you turn it upside down, you won't go to jail for copying it. You can do it for free today. God will tell you, you don't need to have a witch doctor. God will tell you, you don't need Oprah. God will tell you what to do. Verse number 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. All right, sober-minded. Number one, a lady, if you don't want a broken life, you don't want the broken bones spiritually, you're going to look for a guy who is sober-minded, thinks right. Now, you got to understand, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Every day I pray, spend more time praying about thought life than anything. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God knows it is not what a man says, it is what a man thinks. It is not you are what you eat, it is you are what you think. And God understands and impresses upon us again and again that if you want the right guy, you better try to understand how does he think. And why, there may be some guy who's quiet, maybe some guy doesn't have the pizzazz somebody else has got, but he's sober-minded, serious about the things of God. He thinks right. Boy, you better make sure if that guy's got his mind in the sewers, you got the wrong guy. If that guy got his mind on trivial things that pass away all the time, you got the wrong guy. There has got to be a guy who thinks right. He is sober-minded. How about in verse number 7? And all things showing thyself a pattern. Stop right there with that word pattern of good works. You know, we'll look at a girl, look at the second part, the good works part, and say, yeah, he's got good works. Look, he's out here on the weekend working in church. You know, he's over here doing this. He's serving God here. Even an ambassador, he's singing in the choir. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's got the good works, but you're missing the most important word there. It is not just that he does good works, because you know what? You're required to do good works here. The Bible says the right guy has a pattern. That word pattern in the New Testament times meant a dye. I mean, it's like going into a factory, you know, and they're putting out the same old thing every time. Maybe it's a dye to put out a little screw. And why the dye just does the same thing every time. The dye just does the same thing every time. I mean, dyes don't get tired, and dyes don't quit, and dyes hardly ever break. I mean, dyes just do the same thing every day, 24 hours a day. That silly old machine just keeps putting out the same thing, keeps putting out the same thing. And you know, Hollywood's going to tell you, little girl, you need some romantic guy who's got a lot of excitement. Yeah, your romantic guys with excitement, that's what the Hollywood harlot, starlets get. And the Hollywood starlets are all married and divorced 6 times by their 30th birthday. What do they know? What you need is some boring guy who has got a pattern of good works. I mean, he's just a die. Every day at 6:02, the alarm goes up. At 6:03, he's out of bed. At 6:05, his Bible is open and he's having his devotions. Every day, same thing. Every Friday, same thing. Just a die, man. Friday comes along and there's that guy getting in that car and it's Lattimore, North Carolina in the rear view mirror and he's out working in a local church serving God. Every soul winning night, Tuesday or Thursday night, there he goes. There he is out knocking on doors telling people about Jesus. There he is. God got the job. And at 12:31 every day he's going to work. Every day it's the same thing. He studies here, he does this. He say, oh, I want a little more excitement. Well, I'll tell you what's exciting. What's exciting is when you've got 3 little crumb crunchers, age 1, 3, and 5, your husband just ran off with another woman, and you're just sitting over here trying to figure out how to rear 3 kids on welfare checks and food stamps and government housing. That's exciting. No, what you want is somebody who's got to die, a boring pattern of good works. How about in verse number 7? Not only a pattern of good works, in doctrine. Doctrine, the man knows what he believes. You know, he not only thinks right, he not only does right, a pattern of good works, he believes right. He's got doctrine. What kind of doctrine? Doctrine that is uncorrupt and pure. Doctrine that is gravity. It's serious business to him. And doctrine that is in sincerity. It is genuineness. So what does he believe? You see, it's not enough to say, hey, the guy believes and he knows he gets an A in a Bible class. It's not enough that the guy can stand up in a homiletics class and preach. It's not even enough that the guy is in the preaching event every year and he does a good job. It's not even that he's in a church, he preaches once in a while. That's all good stuff. But you know, there's something else you better look at, ladies. The doctrine in that guy's life. The Bible says it has got to be uncorrupt. It's got to be pure. And that means that you need to know the Bible yourself. It means that you've got to study the Word of God. And ladies, you've got to read the Bible. And you've got to know the Word of God. You're not supposed to be sleeping in doctrine class. You're not supposed to be sleeping when your pastor's preaching the Bible. It's not time to pass notes. You want to make sure that guy's right. Well, you better know the Bible. You better be uncorrupt in what you believe. And if you are pure in your Bible doctrine, you'll know if he's pure in his Bible doctrine. You better make sure he's grave about what he believes. Hey, the Bible better be serious business to him. You know, if all it is a class and pass the test and we're done. You know, if you want to get on a little date someplace and he never wants to talk about the Bible and he never wants to read the Word of God and he never wants to talk about the things of God, what do you think? You think one day you walk down the aisle, you kiss the guy on the lips, you put the ring on the fingers, you think the preacher says, here's Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you walk out the back, shake hands with everybody, go on a honeymoon, and now all of a sudden the Bible's going to be important to him? If he's not grave and serious about the Bible now, what makes you think he's going to be grave and serious when you got three kids? What makes you think he's going to be grave and serious some other time? I mean, what makes you think it's going to be changed? No, hey, the Bible, he better not only be right in what he believes, he better be serious about what he believes, and then he better be genuine. He better practice what he believes. And if it's one thing in church and another thing out of church, and if it's one thing in front of the preacher and mommy and daddy and another thing behind their back, you got the wrong guy. And if you're with the wrong guy, you don't understand, but you're going to be a broken life. And instead of being one of the success stories, and instead of being one of the people come back to Ambassador one day and say, glory to God, he's blessed us. And instead of being one of the people who 30 years later still have a smile on their face, you're going to be one of those broken bones that Paul told Titus about. And it doesn't have to be so. God's telling you right now. And look, if you've got a guy or girl and the warning lights are going off, you got to say, man, by the grace of God, I'm going to take the Bible and let it speak for itself. How about verse number 8? That right guy has sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech. What's he talk like? You know, if the guy's always on the edge, if the guy's always belly aching, if the guy's always complaining, if the guy's dirty, you better listen to the speech. If he uses profanity, you better listen to the language that guy uses, because you want a man that's going to be a spiritual leader in the home. You want a man that's going to build a family in righteousness. You want a man that today is going to do right, and he's going to do right tomorrow, but you want to have the kind. Because you see, one day, 15 years from now, you've got a couple kids in the house, and your husband's going to be away for 3 or 4 days in some hotel someplace in Los Angeles. And as you're sitting there with the kids, the old devil's going to whisper in your ear and say, I wonder what your husband's doing. And you know, when a lady can reach out and grab that slimy serpent by the shirt and pull her right straight to her nose and say, let me tell you something. He wouldn't cheat with me, and I know he won't cheat on me. That's a powerful thing. But you know, 15 years from now, a couple babies later, and the old devil says, you remember what you guys used to do? You don't think he'd do that again? Well, if his life isn't right now, to the day you die, there's going to be that nagging thought in your mind. If he cheated with me, he'll cheat on me. So, you come to the Bible, and there's a choice to make. And God just lays it right out. Now, God doesn't say Sally, Mary, Billy, but God tells you who the right Sallys are, and he tells you who the right Billys are. And if it's not Titus, well, you can open your Bible to Timothy. You can open your Bible to Proverbs. There's a lot of places you can go. You spend the rest of your life finding at least the right chart. You got to do a little more than that. You know, guys, not just looking at the chart. The Bible says, he that findeth his wife findeth a good thing. That word find in the Greek, literally translated, means the next time you're at a Valentine's banquet, put the stupid books away, go get a date. That's what it means. In the Greek. A week too late. But look, God says, Titus, I'm putting you on that island. Titus, I want you to preach. Titus, we're going to plant local churches. Titus, there's broken lives. There's broken bones. Titus, you got to fix them. But it's a whole lot better if you and I come to the Word of God this morning and say, before it's broken, I'm going to respond to what God says.